WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Law enforcement officials are flooding the zone, investigating the killing of 15 people in New Orleans early this morning. They died when a pickup rammed into a crowd. FBI agent Alethea Duncan.
This is an ongoing investigation that's rapidly evolving.
Reporter Chris Fox says the investigation has now spread to Texas.
FBI Houston securing a perimeter around an intersection in North Houston, they say having to do with this morning's attack in New Orleans. FBI Special Agent Alethea Duncan says 42-year-old Houston resident Samsu Dinjabar was the suspect killed by New Orleans police after plowing a pickup truck flying an ISIS flag into a New Orleans crowd.
We do not believe that Jabbar was solely responsible.
Jabbar was an honorably discharged Army veteran. The pickup was rented in a Houston suburb.
CBS News law enforcement contributor Rodney Harrison says police departments throughout the U.S. should now be on alert.
We need to get as much information out as possible so other cities or states need to be prepared just in case there's other plots going on throughout the country.
Former FBI agent and profiler Mary Ellen O'Toole says the Bureau will now look at forensic evidence in its search for anyone who helped Jabbar.
They will be looking at computer intelligence. Who was this offender communicating with? So I think at this point, to justify that they're saying that it's likely there are multiple offenders or people involved in this, they're bringing in forensic evidence to back up those statements.
CBS's Omar Villafranca says a big college football game that was to be played in New Orleans has now been rescheduled to tomorrow night.
People are down here in New Orleans not only because it was New Year's Eve and today's New Year's Day, but today is the Sugar Bowl. This was Notre Dame and Georgia. Supposed to happen today. It is postponed now.
At least four people have died in an explosion of illegal fireworks just after midnight in Honolulu. Jim Ireland is the director of Honolulu EMS.
Most of them were burned and also with blast-type injuries.
At least 20 people were brought to hospitals. One person has died in the explosion of a 2024 Tesla Cybertruck outside the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. Tesla owner Elon Musk says on X that the explosion was caused by either very large fireworks or a bomb in the bed of the rented vehicle. Louisiana Republican Congressman Mike Johnson will find out in a few days if he's being replaced or will continue to run the U.S. House, says CBS's Nydia Cavazos. People suffered minor injuries. No closing numbers because the markets were closed today. They'll be open tomorrow with traders eager to recover from 2 weeks of losses. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing recycling tips for the end of the holiday season. According to a press release, DNR officials are reminding residents that things like holiday light strings, cords, and plastic bags should not be put in the recycling bin as they can get tangled up in equipment. Batteries and electronics should also not be put in recycling as they can cause a fire if damaged. Items like cardboard, glass, and aluminum cans can be recycled, and a full list of accepted items can be found online. The sniffles, sneezes, coughs, and wheezes could be coming your way. It is cold and flu season, after all. Are you taking your over-the-counter medication properly? Brittany Merlot reports.
Got that common winter cold coming on? You should know that there are common mistakes happening when people pick up over-the-counter medicines.
Patients at times may not read the labels or know what the active ingredients are in each medication.
That's Stetson Petrikis, an Aspyrus Pharmacy resident. He said that sometimes people are taking two different products with the same ingredients in them, which doubles the dose and may increase side effects.
It is best to talk to your doctor when, say, if you have a cough if you've been trying to treat it over the counter and it's been about a week and then the cough gets worse, let your provider know.
He says read the label and make sure it's not a combination product.
Sports bring a lot into the Wisconsin economy, and basketball is no different. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
The Bucks are a multi-billion dollar operation. A recent NBA franchise valuation report reveals the Bucks rank 19th in the NBA with a value of $3.9 billion. The valuation is way up from a $550 million purchase price in 2014.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Welcome back to Jeff Gress, as back in studio, back live on the radio after a Christmas night off. And only one holiday do we take off, and that's Christmas.
Well, it's a good feeling to be back. I got to say, because my wife was giving me a hard time in here, so I want to tell her, because they don't listen a lot, because they hear the sound of my voice enough at home. So they said they were going to listen quick, so if she is, my car ride was comfy, because she was making fun of me for warming my car up. To my beautiful daughter, I say hi, to my son, he better have his band extra credit done. But it's good to be back in the studio.
Tonight, we're going to be talking a lot about high school girls and boys basketball, talk some hockey as well. Only one guest, because our second guest, and again, there's been a lot going on in terms of people under the weather here in central Wisconsin. We were lined up to have Merrill High School boys basketball coach Troy Pieper join us, as they had a pretty good week going into this Wednesday evening. But unfortunately, the coach is a little bit under the weather today. So hopefully he'll be feeling better, and we'll definitely reschedule to have him on a little bit later on in the season, or who knows. Real fast. People wonder how we decide this. I always decide it, basically a couple of days before the show starts. It's not a big plan here where I've got a whole list of people for the next 5 weeks. I'll figure it out for our next week's guests by the end of this coming weekend, see how things are going. So maybe, who knows, maybe if Merrill keeps playing well, we'll ask Coach Pieper back on next week. But at some point, we'll have Coach Troy Pieper of the Merrill Blue Jays with us during the course of the season. But we will have our student-athlete guest coming up, Jake Hain. He is a senior, one of the captains of the Wausau West hockey team. Warriors, 8-4 on the season, had a good weekend over in Green Bay at the showdown in Titletown, and we'll talk to Jake Hain about his season, his hockey career, his role as a captain, and a whole bunch more coming up at 7:06 tonight. So that's on the itinerary. I'm sure even now with little extra time, we'll have to dig into some of Jeff Gress's topics by the time we get to
make it sound like
hours.
It's this eccentric thing. We'll see what we got
all these interesting thoughts and topics that you want to talk about.
I appreciate you talking me up like that, because it makes it sound like it's really intriguing. A lot of pressure.
Stick around for the end, because you never know what you'll pull out from this long list, this thick list.
Area grievances.
There you go. There you go. As we start off the new year, and glad you could be with us on this New Year's night here on 98.9 WXCO. And by the way, we were not on last week, but we did record a podcast. So if you go to our podcast page by going to civicmedia.us and clicking on shows, or go to WXCO.FM and then click on air. That will take you to the show page as well. And you can go to the Big High School Sports Show page and hear our podcast only episode from last week, Thursday. But let's jump in and talk about what's going on in high school boys basketball to begin with. Wisconsin Valley Conference, and the conference standings remain the same as when we did our podcast last week, but just looking at where these teams stand, you got two teams that are undefeated and only two games into the season, so only two teams left undefeated, Marshfield and Wausau West. Wausau West is 7-2 overall, Marshfield is 4-4. Then you have at 1-1 both Wausau East and Stevens Point. Lumberjacks 9-1 overall on the season. Stevens Point is 6-4. At 0-1 is both Merrill and Wisconsin Rapids. Merrill is 6-4 overall. Rapids still looking for their first win. They're 0-8. And DC Everest is 0-2 in the WVC, but the Evergreens are 5-5 overall. And looking at some of the action, and two of the teams, the top two teams, in fact, in the conference standings were down in Florida over the holiday week. Both Wausau West and Marshfield were down in Florida playing games on Friday, Saturday, and Monday. And Wausau West went 2-1 in their trek to the south. They lost their first game on Friday to Fordham Prep 38-35, but then they bounced back and defeated St. Albert Catholic of Alberta, I should say, a Canadian team, 63-26. And then on Monday, wrapped things up, beating Christ Church Academy of Florida 51-30. Meantime, Marshfield, they were the opposite. They won their first game, defeating Knoxville Catholic of Tennessee 67-58, but then on Saturday and Monday they fell, as on Saturday they lost a tight one to Middletown, Ohio 46-42, and then on Monday lost to Olentangy Liberty of Ohio 61-54. And obviously we don't know how good, say, Fordham Prep is, or right, some of the, or the team from Alberta is. A couple of things that are interesting. I know that Marshfield, during the entire weekend, Landon Lee had a good weekend. I know he had 29 points on Friday. I know he had more than 20 on Saturday. Not sure what the numbers were on Monday. So he had a good week. And also something that kind of jumped out to me, and I was looking at a little bit of what was going on down there. The state of Wisconsin plays halves, but most of the other rest of the country still plays quarters, and they still play 8-minute quarters, although they're shorter games.
Right.
And I'm kind of curious to talk to Coach Nate Lemons when Wausau West returns to action next Tuesday, and I'm kind of interested to feel, to see if it feels differently, if the game goes by faster, if quarters go by quicker, does the feel of a game go by quicker? But generally, obviously, don't know the competition, but at the same time, as you've talked about, three games in 4 days, going to Florida, spending a lot of time together, both these teams off to good starts in the conference. This can't do anything but help them.
No, I think it's if you can afford to go, get all your families on board, get all the working parts in order, because from a program perspective and a coaching perspective, there's a lot of organization I think that is involved in that, and programs I think appreciate that as much as coaches do when you can get your players down for something to do like this. And I think it does nothing but good to go play these games and see what else is out there. Sometimes we get stuck, whether we're stuck in our area of the state or we're just stuck in our state based on how things are sanctioned and teams play. It's cool, I think, when you get outside and play a team. If they go to the Border Bash and play a team from Minnesota, or you're playing a team from Illinois, and so I think it's neat to do that. Your perspective of the quarters halves brings up an interesting thing. I always used to like the breaks when we had quarters, and that was my biggest fear, is I'm losing extra time to talk to the kids and work on things, because you had some natural timeouts built in those quarterly breaks. But the more we got into halves, I love the flow of it. So I'll be curious to see what you report back on Coach Lemon. It's his take on that, and I think it's cool for the kids to play those different styles too, to shake it up a little bit. But I think it is
a rather significant amount of time, though. I mean,
yeah, that's
2 minutes in each half is quite a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, the time thing is different. I think at the end of the day, it makes, if your players are exposed to different situations, I think they just inherently build up a toughness, or they're not thrown by any adversity, and I think it makes you tougher down the stretch. So to say, yeah, hey, we're going to lose some minutes, but now we're trying this style of play, let's go pull out a couple W's doing something that we don't routinely do, but these other teams do, I just think makes you better along the way in terms of any adverse circumstance that can pop up in a basketball game and those little moments that happen. But I think no harm done. Even if you go, you know, let's just say you go down there and go 0-3. Mm-hmm. My next question to you would be, how does this, you know, win losses is kind of the only thing that jumps in on that seeding stuff, right? So I don't know what these other teams' records are because they're out of state.
How do out-of-state games be put into the computer?
That was the one thing when you were talking about that. I'm thinking, where does this jostle into the seeding? But I think getting out there and seeing is good. So I think for Marshfield and West, challenging yourselves. Overall, bottom line, the team bonding stuff, the downtime sitting in the hotel room, the time when these guys are on their video games, the times when families are hanging out at the pool, whatever it, or beach or whatever it is, I think is a big deal where they get to spend that time together. So I think all in all, it was a win situation for Marshfield and West going down there. And hopefully it was, when we talked to the coaches competitive-wise, was it worth their time to go see some good competition? Score-wise, it looks like that. It looks like they had some good games that were tighter in score, which, again, pushes your team a little bit, whether you win or lose those games.
Okay, so then Wausau East was also in a tournament this weekend, and on Friday they defeated Omro. The game was in Omro, 77-67. Jesse Napgeza continues to fill it up. He's had big scoring nights, I think, almost every game in the first 10 this season. 32 points. He also pulled down 9 rebounds. Teddy Schlindwein had 14 in that game for East. And then on Saturday, Lumberjacks came back and rolled past Berlin, 81-57. Another 28-point effort for Napgeza. And Charlie Cayley, a double-double, 16 points, 13 boards. Jaden Garrett had 11 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists in that game. 9 wins, 1 loss overall for Wausau East. Obviously, they just, in a lot of these games, are like these games, double-digit wins.
Yeah, they're playing really well. It shows in the record. That's all you got to see is 9-1 start is a nice start to the season. I think when you can go on the road into somebody else's gym, especially when you're at their home tournament, and get that get those W's, you know, in terms of beating Omro and then turn around beating Berlin, is a good feeling. You never know what your team always has coming out in these tournaments. Kids are a little less focused, maybe a little less disciplined because they don't have the regimen of the school day that kind of sets up their routine for them. So it's nice to see when your team can go out and execute and significantly win a couple of games on the road against competition that you're not used to seeing. It's not a team you're familiar with. It's somebody you're going to see that one time. And I think, every time you read the numbers, you're getting production out of it. You know, Nipgezik's a score. Jaden Garrett is putting a couple points on the board, dumping the ball down to the guys, and Kaylee's taking care of the boards, and those guys are putting up those numbers consistently for East.
And also, it was a nice way to bounce back from their first loss. They had that game against Marshfield where, obviously, I'm sure there was a lot riding on it early in the season against the multiple-time defending conference champs, and they had been undefeated and then kind of had a rough night at home. To come right back and get back on the bike and do what they had been doing for the previous 7 games is also something that kind of stands out. They didn't let this kind of stew and then maybe have back-to-back losses or anything like that.
And a team that's ready to vie for that conference title, try to go fight for it, is going to get right back on the wagon and do what they can do in every basketball game to continue to prove themselves that they belong up there. So I'm hoping things, there's no sleepers in the conference. It's going to be tough tests every time they have these conference games, but hoping that it plays out from our spectator point of view that Marshfield has one loss or no losses and the East continues just to have that one loss and they get to fight each other over at Marshfield for that conference title.
It was a busy week for Merrill. They had a tournament on the weekend, Friday and Saturday, and then added a non-conference road game on Monday, and they ended up winning 2 of the 3 games. On Friday, they fell to Edgewood 62-55, E.J. Weix 15, Corey Page 11 points, 9 rebounds, and then on Saturday, Merrill came back and defeated Mayville 75-54. Corey Page, 25 points, 11 boards, Jacob Smeltzer 14, Tyson Ott 11, and then right back at it, went up to Minocqua on Monday night and defeated Lakeland 52-42. Apparently it was a night where Coach Pieper sent to me some information saying that it was not a great offensive night, but they were able to dig in defensively, able to do that and be able to use the defense in order to get a nice win. Again, one of those games against a team that's part of the Division II bracket that you'll be dealing with coming up in February and March. But the thing that kind of jumps out is Page. He had just returned in the Medford game the previous week, and obviously 6'2", a senior, somebody that I know Pieper was very happy to have back, and he's jumped right in and played very well in the first 4 games he's been part of.
Yeah, for Merrill, I like the setup. You never looked at your break. You always just look to get a game in or a couple games in, or some teams want to stay dormant and not play over the break and you know, give that time back for their players to focus and rest a little bit. And I like this setup. I think they're the only team that, unless I'm missing somebody else that we cover, had a tournament and then also had another game built in there in it. I think it broke it up to give them good action. And, you know, they saw good competition in Edgewood. They beat Mayville and to bounce back and get a significant win for seeding against Lakeland. And I think it's a big deal, like you said, with what Coach Pieper shared, is you're going to have nights where you rely heavily more on one side than the other. You know, we can't shut down this team real well, but we're outscoring them. We're going to play great defense tonight. We're going to hold them within 40 because we're not hitting the baskets that we normally hit. And I think the versatility in not only knowing your team well, but having them be able to understand that sometimes we're going to have some highs and lows, and it's how we fight through that and make part of our game stronger to fill the void of which part of our game's not working out for that given night for whatever circumstances is a big deal. Every coach always wants to have their best players on every given night without injury or sickness. So for Paige to come back, you can obviously just look on the stats that he's putting up the baskets for him. And, you know, him and Wykes, you know, just Wykes by himself, I saw them play earlier in the year against Newman, was a good opponent, was a good player out on there. Now to add that extra versatility and Paige coming in there from the scoring angle and whatever else he brings to the middle of the floor there, I think just adds another dimension for Merrill to be, you just be a stronger team when you get all your guys back. So good thing for them.
It was a good weekend for Stevens Point at the Century Classic. They won a pair of games. They beat Beaver Dam on Friday, 64-56 in overtime. And then on Saturday, beat Watertown, 63-51. Grant Schott and I, 18 in that game against Watertown. They've had at least three overtime games already this year. I mean, they've been, and those all in non-conference games. Obviously, Stevens Point is playing a very significant non-conference schedule, playing some tough minutes. And again, Stevens Point's that team. It's January the 1st. I mean, I think everybody in the conference has been looking at that because there's going to be a major upgrade with what 6'9" young man joining up for Stevens Point.
Yeah, and that's I don't know. The coaches are going to take it because they're competitors, as are the kids. But still, I just think that's you know, it's something that doesn't happen all the time. Especially, you know, sometimes you get guys back, but you know, you know what you have in this kid. Kid coming back with his size, his strength, the numbers he put up, and for him, he's been waiting for. I mean, if I'm him, I'm waiting for this moment. Get me back on the court in a game situation, please. I've practiced, put my time in. You know, not that it's a penalty, but the transfer rule paid that time back to the WIA that I had to sit out. So, you know, let's get going here. So, I think for Spash, they're playing good non-conference competition. They're sitting at 6-4.
And the young man's name is Jaden Owie. Just have to make sure of that. And real quickly about him, real fast, because I'm sure you were there when Pacelli played Newman a couple of years back in that sectional game over at Wausau West, and he was part of that Pacelli team. And I remember him, you know, being athletic, but not, you know, being, you know, he was tall, obviously, but he had not filled in. Yeah. I'm just curious to see after a couple of years whether or not he is, you know, maybe filled in a little bit. He's 6'9" tall and obviously got great ability. I know, and when I went down to Stevens Point a few weeks ago for the Wausau West game, talking to somebody from Stevens Point, that he's been practicing, so it's not going to be a case where he has not working at all with these teammates. But again, it's going to be one of those very interesting things coming up here in the next number of weeks.
And he may even get a little extra time in because some of those guys that aren't getting, you know, your lifting schedule can be coordinated with your game schedule. And if he's lifting a lot and putting a lot of time into that strength and conditioning on the side, he doesn't have to worry about being fatigued for a game where other guys are going to have to maneuver that around a little bit. So I think for Spash, a couple of nice wins. The overtime games are great tests right away, and especially when you're pulling them out. Or if you're losing, you can learn a lot about that. And to go out, run around on the college court is a good overall tournament experience from seeing some of those different competitions in Beaver Dam and Watertown.
DC Evers played later. In fact, they played Monday and Tuesday. Played some Big Rivers teams, and on Monday they lost to River Falls 47-40, and then last night defeated Menominee 61-51. As I said earlier, they're a team that's 500. They've been sort of in that realm during the course of the season so far. We've spoken about, you know, the massive loss of Cohen Preby. Everest, again, there's still some very good talent on that team, but they're 0-2 in the conference. Obviously, the two games they played in the conference have both been very tough opponents, Marshfield and Stevens Point, so I wouldn't, you know, take too much out of that. So they're still going to be, I'm really curious to see them in person next Tuesday when they come to Wausau to take on West. But what about DC Everest? Obviously, that's a good couple of games against those teams. Again, bigger schools in the western part of the state.
Yeah, I mean, we were fortunate enough to talk to Coach Drake last year, and if we talk to him this season, I'm sure he'll share some of the insights of that. But I remember whenever if our point guard was sick or went down with an injury, it always, I don't know, you love that little on the floor court general, that extra assistant coach out there. That's what point guards are. They have this innate opportunity to just naturally, they're leaders. They're your guaranteed leadership for the most part, usually one of the more reliable kids in the court. So to not have that, especially out of a four-year starter, that's a little transition for any team. But I still think, you know, coaches know each other so well in the Valley and know those teams. You know, you're not going to look past Everest. Like you said, the two teams they took losses to are two of the teams that are probably going to be hanging around the top. And they still have, if you look at their statistics, they've got
three guys
putting up 12-plus points. Yeah. So I think they're going to be in the thick of things, and they're probably one of those teams that just look to try to keep finding consistency in that win total, because that's going to be a big deal going forward, how much stronger these guys can get if they're able to get Preby back from injury and be at full strength.
One of the things that sort of jumped out about them as well early this season, again, just from the outside, keeping an eye on them, and you don't know all the details on a game-by-game basis, but I watched the game they played against Eau Claire North earlier this year, and when they get hot, they are scary good. I mean, they were hitting some shots, and they were getting really racking up some points, and then you see games where they score 40 points. That surprises me in a sense. So, and I know that in terms of the way the Coach Drake runs his team, that it's a team that I think that kind of has the capability. He does not put the reins on them very tightly. So, again, I just think that's a team that could be a very different looking team as we get deeper into the season. So it does very interesting.
And those teams are scary when all of a sudden you start adding these pieces back. I mean, from the time when I played to when I coached, teams can be very different from the beginning of the year to the start of the year when you battle through all those injuries. And it's just kind of, to your players, you reinforce, let's stay the course. Let's just kind of get as many W's as we can, looking to get a little better. And I think just from watching Everest last year, seeing when I saw them play, their size, the way they're able to put the ball in the basket, they got a lot of weapons. And sometimes maybe it just takes getting that one key piece back at the puzzle that makes you 100 times more dangerous than you originally were when a team thought they got all over you in the beginning half of the season, and now you're a very formidable foe in the second half.
And obviously with the Valley, every year it's this way in the Valley. Some conferences have played 5-6 games by this point. There's only two games basically for most of the Valley teams, even one game for, I think Merrill's only played one game if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, yeah, you are correct.
Yeah, one game for Merrill. So again, so much is still to play for, and it gets interesting now we get to January, especially in the Wisconsin Valley Conference,
which is the way they build their conference. Yep. You know, they play a lot of these non-conference games early, kind of. I like it. You get a feel for your team. You can see strengths and weaknesses, improvements needed, and then you get that settled in when you want to dial in and go for that conference title. So good things.
We're going to take a 1-minute timeout and then come back and talk about the rest of the boys' action that's going on here in central Wisconsin. We'll talk a little bit about the girls' action later on in this hour. Again, we will have our student athlete guest coming up at 7:06, Jay Kane from Wausau West Hockey, and we'll look ahead to, again, really get into the conference action in the next week as we turn the calendar to 2025. So still plenty to talk about as we continue here on the Big High School Sports Show, brought to you by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. On Friday night, it's the first game of 2025 for the Marathon High School boys basketball team as the Red Raiders travel to Neillsville for a non-conference matchup. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip set for 7:15. Marathon Basketball on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Marathon Park City, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Brickner's of Little Chicago, County Materials, The People's State Bank, Marathon Cheese, The Dirks Group, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. It's Marathon at Neillsville in high school boys basketball. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 7, opening tip at 7:15 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back. Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Along with Jeff Gress, I am Chad Holmes. As we will now talk about the Great Northern Conference in high school boys basketball. You got Mosinee, Rhinelander, both off to great starts. Rhinelander 3-0 in the conference, 7-1 overall. Mosinee is 8-1 overall, 2-0 in the conference. Then you have Medford, who is 1-1 in the conference, but 3-5 overall. Antigo, 5-3 overall, 1-2 in the conference. Lakeland, 3-5 and 1-2 in the league. Northern Pines, 6-4 overall, but 1-2 in the conference. And Tomahawk at 3-5 and 0-2 in the conference. And looking at some of the action, Mosinee, they went over and they were over at the Green Bay Preble, the sun drop thing over at Preble, and they were able to win twice. They defeated Southern Door 72-64 on Friday. Carson Balgord, 23 points. Braden Reinke, 16. Treve Stoffel, 11. And then on Saturday, they were able to knock off the host school Preble 75-64. And Braden Reinke, he's had a number of double-doubles, a big double-doubles. He had 29 points and 15 rebounds. And then Treve Stoffel had a triple-double. We haven't seen too many of those in the high school ranks this season. Stoffel had 20 points, 10 rebounds, and dished out 14 assists. So obviously, when you look at Mosinee, 8-1, and they're also a team that, you know, it's not a soft 8-1. They've played some pretty good competition.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that you're going to that side of the state and challenging yourself. We talked about Southern Door being in that conference with that weird conference with 2 through 5 teams and kind of go after each other. So I think Mosinee's playing really consistent basketball right now, whether they're pulling out tight ones, playing a wide variety of teams from hosting their own tournament at Thanksgiving to the teams that they've seen over Christmas here, and some nice wins on the road versus Southern Door and Green Bay Preble. And I know, not to get too far ahead, I think they come back and they play Brilliant. They're at Brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's a nice another game to get into before they get into conference play. The thing from being on the outside, like we often say, looking in with these teams, because we're not seeing every game that they play, I like the fact that, you know, you've heard of Stoffel and what he can do when he showed up with that triple-double. But you see Reinicke's name, or Reinicke's name popping up consistently, and those guys are, you know, doing well. And I just love the idea that, you know, you're not a one-trick pony. When you get that balance, you get multiple players throwing it in when the top dog doesn't get those numbers that they normally give and somebody else pops up. I think that's the thing that makes this fun. And to Mosinee's credit, 2-0 conference start, and 8-1 start is an excellent first half of the season.
And Rhinelander has been very good so far. The 3-0 in the conference, they are now 7-1 overall, and for the first time this season, in fact, they lost, but they were down at the Wisconsin Dells in that event, and they on Friday defeated Ripon 76-47. Devin Feck had 19 points, and Truman Lamers had 13. But then they ran into Wisconsin Dells, a team that is 6-2. Very solid program for a number of years as well. And Dells beat Rhinelander 70-42. Feck at 14. But it's interesting when a team has won 1-1, a lot of games, and then all of a sudden you lose by 28 points. That can sometimes be a little shock to the system, can it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I remember we'd come out and start the season off. First, this is only when you played like 5 or 6 games before Christmas, and then you went to a tournament over Christmas break, and we'd get to a different area of the state. And for whatever reason, you'd have a letdown. Kids wouldn't play that well, didn't get off the bus right, whatever it was. And the most important next moment is how you turn around and play that next game. And for them, I think on Friday, they have to go over to East, which is a game that I'm, you know, looking forward to seeing how those two wail on each other a little bit from the different conferences. But I think that the idea is how are we coming back from that? What do we learn from that? And I think, you know, it can be a good thing at the end of the day. I mean, you don't want that for coaches, that score probably bugs you a little bit. The players probably move on and are ready for the next game eventually by now. So I think off to a great start, and you know, Coach Lemons has been around up there in Rhinelander for a long time. He's going to figure out what they need to do to get ready to play, and they're going to play East tough on Friday. That'll be a good game.
Rest of the conference is interesting. And normally the teams that kind of are up there in the top half are Medford and Lakeland. And so far this season, both those schools have struggled a little bit. I saw Medford play Wausau West. I saw them on the stream play Merrill. They still got some talent, but it's not quite the same as it was. They had a really good couple of groups that went through over the last 4 or 5 years. It's a team that I think just doesn't have the same ability to put the ball in the hole, even though they were hot at times, especially in the game against Merrill. And then you have Lakeland, who has kind of been teetering downward a little bit the last number of years. I think it just hasn't been quite the same. And then you have Pines at 6-4 overall, Antigo at 5-3. I would say that both those schools, if you dig a little deeper, have not played the schedules that either Medford or Lakeland tend to play either. But I guess what your thoughts on what else you see when it comes to the Great Northern?
Well, Medford, I think, is probably, you know, still trying to figure out that identity of this year's team. That you can just see it in the scores where it's popping up. I think there's still always going to be a formidable foe when you show up. Not a team you can fall asleep against because, like you said, they have the ability to get hot, but maybe just not as many potent players offensively that can scar that other team so much. And I think, you know, I think you're going to have Ryan Lander-Mosny fighting for that top spot. Medford might be able to creep up on a couple teams, but obviously you can tell in the scores need a little more consistency. Lakeland, tough one to figure out. They used to be kind of that spoiler. Now it's like, are you still fighting in the middle of the pack? Or are you trending down towards the bottom of that conference?
And it does seem like every
that's
year
what it sees out of scores.
They had Ted Voigt for all those years. And then they had from Rhinelander.
Rich Fortier.
Rich Fortier, exactly. And now, last couple of years, they brought in the coach, I think Jared.
Janice Fasu or something. Right, I can't say it right. I apologize.
So I think right now they're a little transition. I mean, because they had two veteran coaches for such a long time.
Well, and I believe this is his second year.
Yes.
Right? So the thing with that is, it's, you know, you learn a lot from year one to year two, and you get better as a coach because you just have more experience and you're still in the same program with the same guys, except for the ones you lose due to graduation. And it takes some time to go down sometimes and make that youth program what you want out of it, whether you're getting coaches in place, whether you're getting the players to buy in, whether you're even starting at a lower grade level to stay up with the Joneses. So we never know where the switch is that the coach makes to kind of rectify that program to be their own to find the success, whether it's right. Deeper in the youth level, is in your middle school. So I'm sure, you know, knowing what I know out of him as a coach, he's diving down in there and working on things to get it to be his own, and you want to get that consistency.
And that's obviously one of the great things about Ryan Lander-Mosny right now is the stability they've had in those programs for a very long time.
Yeah, when your coaches are around and they know the kids walking the hallways, they know the kids in their middle school and elementary school programs, all that, just it takes time to solidify and time to build it and make it your own, and I think that's the beauty of that. So, you know, it's kind of playing out a little bit, unless there's any spoilers here. Mosny, Ryan Lander sticking on the top. I think those other teams are going to be fighting, like we said, Medford, Lakeland, to be a spoiler or fight for the middle of the pack. I'm still a little uncertain on Pines in there. You know, Antigo Tomahawk seem to kind of find that, you know, by scores reflecting, are going to have to fight down in that bottom. But for Northland Pines, sometimes I think they could knock somebody off based on what we saw against when they played West and Newman early on.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
we were talking last week about a game that was kind of an oddball score.
They have Mosny coming back, not this week, but the next week. So it'll be interesting to see how they turn and play against them because we kind of know where Mosny stands.
Merriwood South, and it's pretty much normal. Merriwood South, a lot of good teams at the top. You got Auburndale, Stratford, and Marathon all tied at 4-1. Auburndale, Stratford 8-1 overall. Marathon 5-3. Then Assumption 3-2 in the conference. But boy, they're struggling out of conference. They're 3-6. Edgar 1-4, 3-6, and Newman Catholic 0-5 and 1-8. Marathon. Nice win on Friday. They beat Columbus Catholic 65-54. Ian Shuda 16, 2 thirds, 13. Garrett Bracewell 10 for Marathon. And I'm curious. I'll be seeing Marathon Friday night at Neillsville. That's always a really good place to go play a non-conference game. And then they go to Colby on Monday, and I'll have that game as well. I'm curious to see the steps that they're taking because I know in talking to Coach Jacobson before the Newman game and talking even about that Stratford game, he was a little bit concerned about the turnovers. And I think we saw too many against Newman. And I know he thought there was too many against Stratford, but I just have a feeling that they're going to tighten that up, and all of a sudden they're getting very dangerous. And the fact that at this point, on January the 1st, with all the people that they lost last year, that they're tied for first in this conference, I think is very impressive.
Yeah, I think you got to – I mean, as coaches, we're always going to be picky, and we're going to want our teams to get better, and we're going to harp on the things that probably aren't, at the end of the day, that bad.
But I don't think he's harping. I think they were too, because he was – they had more than 20 in both those games. That's not marathon-like.
Right. I guess things that you're getting at. After them for and wanting to, I'm impressed.
How am I even being the hard one? And you're being soft on turnovers. I tell you.
You never want to turn the ball over too much, but there's always something to work on. And I think coaches, sometimes we get stuck in that. But that's what makes the kids better and the team better too. What I'm impressed with right now with Marathon is just the they don't have a big scoring punch. The Tulane scores are hitting nine. And in right. in their defense, too, you know, they had some ups and downs over the summer. And in the fall, with all these kids play football, they had some summer injuries and kids yeah. coming back from stuff. And we never know on a daily basis, is there a setback that something get dinged up again and it hurts again? Or are they fully healed? So for them, I think that consistency and what they're doing as a team, sitting at 5-3 overall, 4-1 in the conference, beat Stratford early on, which is a big win for the top. That Columbus Catholic is always a you know, Coach Konichki over there coaches them very well. They're coming off that state title. I don't care what they lost. They're right. still going to try to light you up from the three-point line because that's their style. So on a given night, you don't know what you got. And to beat them by double digits, I think, is a good win. And then I think you turn around the Friday game you're going to have, because what you'll probably mention in a minute here, Auburndale had them. Mm-hmm. And you get kind of a matchup there for that. But I think Marathon, you know, those coaches have been there for a long time and had a lot of success. And they know what Marathon basketball is and what they want it to be and the expectations that they have and the rich tradition. They're going to do nothing but improve based on all those things, I think. So you're going to see a team that I'm sure it was poster board material that when the yearbook came out, they weren't sitting where they wanted to sit. So I'm sure that's hanging up in the locker room to prove what they want out of this season.
And actually, I saw today earlier, they were celebrating the 50th anniversary of that three-peat state championship they had back in the 1970s. So that just shows, again, the tradition that they have in Marathon that they just keep on keeping on each and every year. Mentioned Stratford and Auburndale, and you said it. Both those schools had their home holiday events. Stratford easily beat Manawa 72-34, and then they beat Owen Withy 54-38. And Auburndale beat Wyoega Fremont 59-48, and then beat Neillsville 66-43 on Monday. Obviously, both those teams played very well.
Yeah, and I actually watched some of the Stratford Owen Withy game, and it was just Stratford just kind of wears you down. They're waiting for that extra pass, snap the bounce pass when you're not paying attention. They're going to seal the guy in the post and get it in there and do a nice move to finish off the play. And, you know, for Stratford's just going to get the job done, whether it's going to be on the defensive or offensive. So they're always going to be in the mix of things. Obviously, they manhandled Manawa, but for Owen Withy, they had some size and length, and they have some history with them, always playing them in this tournament, and another nice win for Stratford there. So they're going to be in the, they're sitting at 8-1, which is a nice start too. Auburndale, I like that philosophy. They played Saturday, then they took Sunday off, then they went back to Monday. I kind of need to have, you never hear of a tournament being overlapped by a day break unless right. it's a big tournament, not your own with four teams. So Neillsville, you know, they've always been in the thick of things in that Clover Belt conference, and you know, so a significant win for Auburndale there, and not sure what Wyoega, but again, 8-1, 4-1 overall, so some very good overall records with conference records too, sitting in the wings, and they're all going to jump back against the North, where I think some of these teams are going to own those northern teams.
In our podcast last Thursday, we talked about the tough first game that Assumption had against Amherst at the Century Classic, and then they faced Bonduelle, who we've talked about a lot in the CWC East, and Bonduelle really put the clamps on Assumption on Saturday. It was 27-8 at halftime, and then Bonduelle won 55-29. It's interesting. Again, I know there's expectations this year for Assumption, but right now they've been a little bit up and down. They had the big win against Auburndale, the only game that Auburndale has lost all year, but yet there's been other times where they just have not played very well.
And the inconsistency would probably drive you bonkers as a coach and makes you lose sleep. You know, they have a very good junior class. And again, if I had to go back and reflect on my time coaching, sometimes juniors are ready to just like kill it. They're in senior mode and they're like, this is it. We got to get moving. We got 2 years. And sometimes juniors are like, you know what? I still got a little time here. So I don't know where their mindset is at. I mean, obviously, you know, they want to win. They want to do well. But they have some up and down. I don't know if that goes how they shoot the ball, because they have the ability to put the ball in the basket a lot. And, you know, when I watched them play Marathon a little bit against Assumption, it was just kind of this, there was some wearing down moments where Marathon just wore them down based on being, you know, you had this two different styles. You had more disciplined, a little bit more deliberate in where the ball was going, where Assumption, you know, was a little bit more loose. And sometimes that plays into your advantage. Other times you can turn the ball over extra moments on the timer, take some quick shots that are ill-advised and people aren't ready to react. So I think you have a little bit of that inconsistency because Assumption plays a little bit more free yet, and there's maybe not quite that desperation because their bulk of their class is juniors. But another team that I would never overlook. They got, I mean, Schlafer's filling it up with about 20 a game. So, and I know he's got a nice supporting cast around him in that class. So, again, a team that we could be talking in a couple weeks, and they get it together, and they're knocking off some of these top teams in that conference.
And the thing is, conference wise, they're one game out of first. I mean, poor results have been mainly on the non-conference side.
Right.
They had a tough Cranberry Classic. Then they had a tough Century Classic. Those are the four non-conference games that have 0-4.
Yeah, when I watched Amherst play a fast style basketball against Newman. That's somebody I would want to see in my non-conference schedule as well. And Bondwell, we've talked about Bondwell before, even though they're not in this area. That's a good non-conference opponent.
Yeah, they're 9-0, 4-0 in the CWC East, and real quickly in the CWC East, we're talking a little bit more because there's really no action in the Merriwood North last week. Well, when we talk about next week, we'll kind of go over the standings there. But Bondwell 9-0, 4-0, Whitburn 4-0 in the conference as well, 5-1 overall. Iola 6-2 overall, 3-1 in the conference. Shiocton 2-2 in the league, 5-3 overall. Amherst 5-5 and 1-3. Menominee Indian 4-4, 1-3. Wyawega Fremont 3-6 and 1-3. And Bondwell, I mean, they came to the big court over at UWSP, and they were very impressive. I mean, the 82-42 over Pacelli, who's always a pretty solid program. And then, as we mentioned, they were able to roll past Assumption, and they got their first matchup with Whitburn coming up.
And that's the game I marked down here in my notes. Was
Whitburn hasn't played.
Yeah,
and Whitburn, which we talked about in the podcast last week.
Been off for a little
while. So you can hear that if you go back and listen to it.
But I think Bondwell, obviously, sticking at the top of that conference. Last year, you know, they won the conference too. I'm not quite sure what I know they lost a couple of those guys to graduation, but I think it wasn't a junior senior mix, I think. So some of them are back to that good class that they had, or that good team that they had last year. And, you know, for Wittenberg in there, big game on January 7th and Tuesday to play that Bondwell team. And I think they're sitting in a good spot. Both those teams have, I got to double check on the Bondwell, but Wittenberg beat Amherst significantly. So it kind of have it. I think it was 72-48 right before the break.
Yeah,
so
right.
It was, they went and done their job in terms of a score, and they got Rognowski averaging almost close to 30 if the stats are right on with sports. And so he's, doing well. So I think Wittenberg's sitting in a good spot other than the time off. And we've seen teams, I know we say, oh, the time off, but I saw scores that I did looked up before the show here, and some teams took a time off and did absolutely fine in that next game, and some teams came out a little dormant in their next game. So we'll see, and time will tell in these next games. So I think for a good matchup, make it up on the 7th there.
And as we look forward later in the show, we'll talk a little bit more about Iola, because they're always a good program as well. I think, you know, we talk about Bondwell and Wittenberg, Iola is always part of that mix at the top of that conference as well. So we'll talk a little bit more about them and the CWC North as well, because there was not, again, very little action in the past week in that conference. We're going to come back and start our discussion on girls basketball coming up next. This is the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. On Saturday afternoon, the third-ranked Central Wisconsin Storm girls hockey team plays host to Gentry Academy of Minnesota. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 1:50 and the opening faceoff at 2 p.m. Central Wisconsin Storm Hockey on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing. The Central Wisconsin Storm take on Gentry Academy of Minnesota Saturday, starting with the pregame show at 1:50 and the opening faceoff at 2 p.m. live on your home for high school sports. 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back, Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. With Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes. Again, we were scheduled to have our coach guest this week from Merrill High School, Troy Pieper, but a bit under the weather. Hopefully he is covered up, having some soup, listening to the show, and know that we'll have him on very, very soon as well.
We're telling him to toughen up if he's listening. Just kidding, Coach.
Let's talk about girls basketball. Start with the Wisconsin Valley Conference. You got Marshfield 3-0 in the conference, 4-4 overall. Stevens Point 2-0 in the league, 7-3 overall. Wausau West 3rd in the conference at 2-1, 2-10 overall. So non-conference has not gone well for the Warriors so far. Then you have Merrill at 1-1 in the conference, 3-7 overall. DC Everest 1-2 in the conference, 3-7 overall. Rapids 0-2 in the conference, 1-7 overall. And East 0-3 in the conference, 0-6 overall. We've been talking about it, and you know it's not a. I hope people take it the right way. It's just one of those years right now where it's a lot of growing for these programs. You got, I think Stevens Point came in with some high expectations. I think Marshfield always does, but generally the conference still. I mean. There's opportunities once you get into the conference. I think all these teams are probably very happy to start playing a lot more conference games right now.
Well, and yeah, again, you have these reflective thoughts when you get time to write your notes and stuff for the show here. And that was one of my thoughts. Like, it's, you know, sometimes we give a hard time. Why are you in this conference or why are you here? It's nice to be home in that conference a lot of times for almost the team where your home is, whether you're in the Merrillwood or you're in the Valley, because different things can happen in that non-conference schedule within a given season, why they're playing those games or the results of those games. And when you're having and seeing the track record of the Girls Valley Conference where their non-conference record is lower, it's nice to have that home and have those things to look forward to, because it gives you some of that security, that some of that sense of we can go get the W against each other. And for these teams to have that that non-conference schedule being strong for them right now, it'll be nice to get the bulk of their conference games in here after we recoup after Christmas break.
Look, both West and Marshfield are part of the Marshfield Holiday Classic that's been going on for 15 years, and both Valley teams went 0-2. And the thing about it, the Friday game, Oshkosh West beat Wausau West 59-53. I was off doing hockey on Friday, and I came home, and this game was at halftime, so I watched the second half. At halftime, it was 33-14 Oshkosh West. West played exceptionally well in the second half. I mean, watching that game, I don't know how they only scored 14 points in the first half, because they were running the offense exceptionally well. Ayla Christensen had 19 points, Paige Anderson 16 for West. And then the next day, again, the Warriors struggled against Hudson 69-31. But I see there's some girls that have the capability of putting in the hole. It's just been the consistency right now. And I think that to have a half like they did against Oshkosh West, I was very impressed with what they did. And I think that's something you can grab hold on to as a coach. When you see that, when you can tell the girls, hey, if you do things, you know, if you execute things, you are able to compete against a good Oshkosh West team that then beat Marshfield on Saturday 61-32. So, I mean, obviously, West played a very good basketball team pretty well.
Yeah, and that was what I found funny in the Marshfield tournament, how the scores kind of flip-flop. Yeah, and you played one tight and you lost one, and they both ended up 0-2.
Real quickly, Hudson beat Marshfield 51-45 on Friday, and then Hudson beat West 69-31 on Saturday.
But going back to your original point of the half, you obviously put points in the basket. Obviously, you stopped their scoring. So those are both ends of the basket where you were doing good things on. And I think through your game film, through what you want to reiterate in practice, that's something you try to build off of to find the exact key components that are going to get the kids to buy in to say, hey, here's some stuff we can build off of and some stuff that it's shown through your consistency on the court when you've done it well and you've done it right, that it, you know, we're, like you said, running the offense. Look, now we're putting the ball in the basket. Now it ups our energy on defense where we can get a steal or get a stop and get back down to the offensive end where everybody wants to play most of the time anyways. So I think for them, it's going to be taking those little parts as a program and trying to expand that and make it a primary focus of things that we do right to make it into bigger parts, to find that success and get some consistency in their conference schedule. Because again, you know, you got 3-0, 2-0, and 2-1 at the top of that. So another win or loss here by a couple of those teams are going to be a big deal in their conference standings.
And the thing, I mean, for a team like Wausau West right now, again, you look at the overall record, it's not great, but then next week you got Everest and East. And all of a sudden, they could be 4-1 in the conference very easily.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you have something to build on. And I think, again, that second half against Oshkosh West is something they can build on as well. I do think Stevens Point, just based on what we've seen so far this year, is the team that has been the most consistently solid team. And, right. And even the loss they had on Friday against Lakeland, 62-55, what a terrific matchup of a couple of the best players, I think, that are part of these conferences that we keep an eye on. You had Christina Womet, 33 points and 13 rebounds for Lakeland, and Jada Seibert at 26 points. Again, the outstanding sophomore for Stevens Point. And then Spash was able to beat the Pier on Saturday, 55-48. But right now, unless something changes, unless something occurs, even with Marshfield, because right now they're struggling a little bit with those losses over the weekend, Stevens Point looks to be, I think, head and shoulders above the pack in the Valley.
Well, and I think for two reasons. First one is the seven that they have the only winning record overall. From what if I look down and wrote these down correct. And then
7-3.
The Lakeland score. We know what Lakeland is with Womet and their tradition these last couple of years with the players that they put forth and the winning the GNC the last couple of years, I think, is a kind of puts Spash up on the top of this. I just think they have more consistency in their non-conference play. You know, they're just starting to stretch themselves out in the scores and what they're able to do. And I think that that's going to be the team to beat at the top of this conference, just based on what we're seeing in records.
And DC Everest had a bit of a tough time of it. And I think in a building program like they are at DCE right now, you're going to have it. But the thing that's kind of jumped out is they have not given up 83 points in a game like they did against Eau Claire Memorial on Friday. And 83-18, that's obviously one that, again, I think for high school kids, sometimes the confidence can take a hit and ignite like that, and then they came back and lost to Regis, who's also been an outstanding program, 64-38. But for DCE, as the process continues, there's going to be some bumps in the road.
Right, and I think that's going to probably jump out against some of those top teams in their conference. They're going to see and defense has been their strength, and so I'm sure Coach Bullis is looking at things of why is our point values getting a little higher against some of these better teams like that, and stuff they want to cut down. So you're going to have to fight through those little moments in that first year where you're trying to reestablish the program and get the kids to buy into the system and work through things like this. So when you roll around with the Spashes, even the teams that we got to get this because we want to stay in the middle of the pack, you know, that it looks like defense is going to be kind of their thing, especially when you look at, you know, their leading scorer is putting up about 8 a game. So they want to hold you in check on the defense. Mm-hmm. And they're probably not going to outscore you right now until that consistency comes with more time. So I think, again, you can learn as much as a win can teach you a lot about your team. You can learn a ton off a loss, too, to try to better yourself and your team.
We got a couple of minutes before the top of the hour. Let's talk about the GNC before we finish up the hour. You got Lakeland and Rhinelander 4-0 in the conference, 8-3, 8-2 respectively overall. Mosinee and Tomahawk 2-1 in the conference. Mosinee 7-2, Tomahawk 5-3. And then Medford, Pines, and Antigo all winless in the conference. Lakeland played those two games at the Century. They lost to Laconia 62-58 on Thursday. Womet 22, Sailor Timmerman 15. And then you had Mosinee. They played over along with the boys over in Green Bay at that Sundrop tournament. They fell to St. Mary Catholic 71-52 on Friday. Game was tied 33-33 at halftime, but St. Mary Catholic pulled away. Taylen Jerschley 18, Peyton Jerschley 14. And then on Saturday, Mosinee bounced back to defeat Oshkosh North 64-35. Rhinelander, they split a pair of games Friday. They defeated Ripon 55-47, Lamers 19, Clark 17, and then they fell to the Dells on Saturday 47-34. But again, sort of a mixed bag, but they all challenge themselves.
Yeah, I sometimes like Lakeland's schedule because they always play some tougher team. But then, you know, to take one from Laconia by a couple points, I think it kind of makes you matter, especially with the expectations that they have. Obviously, over Spash was a nice win, and to do it on the college court's a fun environment. So, you know, Lakeland hold and serve up at the top of that conference with Rhinelander also, and both have 8 wins so far. Rhinelander, I thought a little bit surprising maybe on the Dells because they do have a scoring punch in Clark and can keep games close with the girls that they have on their team and the ability they have to fill in the basket, but they're sitting at a 4-0 mark in their conference also. And for Mosinee, I think, you know, it's a nice bounce back because obviously when it's tied at halftime and you're rooting for your team, you expect to win that game. And so they obviously faltered a little bit in that second half against St. Mary's Catholic, but nice bounce back win against a bigger school in Oshkosh North, and a significant win at 65-435 score.
One of the things I like about the GNC on the girls' side is you got these three teams that all can put the ball in the hole. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can have these games that are just battles of defense, but boy, between Lakeland, Rhinelander, and Mosinee, they all have some really good offensive talent.
And Mosinee, remember, their only loss is to Lakeland so far, so they're going to be in the thick of things, too, in that conference.
And absolutely, and it'll be interesting to see when Rhinelander does get those cracks first, both at home against Lakeland and Mosinee coming up. Coming up, we're going to take a timeout for an information update at the top of the hour. News, weather, and sports, and then come back with our number two of the show. We still have some basketball to talk about. We have some hockey to talk about. And our student-athlete guest is coming up next from Wausau West, senior captain Jake Hain. He'll be joining us after the information update. This is, along with Jeff Grass, I'm Chad Holmes, and this is the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Law enforcement officials are flooding the zone, investigating the killing of 15 people in New Orleans early this morning. They died when a pickup rammed into a crowd. FBI agent Alethea Duncan.
This is an ongoing investigation that's rapidly evolving.
Reporter Chris Fox says the investigation has now spread to Texas.
FBI Houston securing a perimeter around an intersection in North Houston, they say having to do with this morning's attack in New Orleans. FBI Special Agent Althea Duncan says 42-year-old Houston resident Samsu Dinjabar was the suspect killed by New Orleans police after plowing a pickup truck flying an ISIS flag into a New Orleans crowd.
We do not believe that Jabbar was solely responsible.
Jabbar was an honorably discharged Army veteran. The pickup was rented in a Houston suburb.
CBS News law enforcement contributor Rodney Harrison said